In the West, there are still a few good men left. Men of God, like the circuit-riding preachers of old. Proclaiming truth like the holy prophets of old. Strong and bold. You're about to hear politically incorrect, but biblically correct truth from circuit-riding preacher Peter Peters, whose home base is a radio ranch nestled in the Laramie River Valley near Laramie, Wyoming. The Radio Ranch is a working cattle and horse ranch where circuit riding preacher Peter Peters broadcasts nightly worldwide on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, reaching the world through satellite, radio, television, shortwave, and the World Wide Web. Riding for the brand, he preaches for the man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. His circuit not only includes a radio ranch outreach in Wyoming, but also the LaPorte Church of Christ, located at the base of the colorful Colorado Rocky Mountains in LaPorte, Colorado, where he has preached for over 30 years. The message is preached there by Dr. Peters on Sunday morning or streamed live on the internet and are archived at the ministry website, scripturesforamerica.org. Dr. Peters' politically incorrect but biblically correct sermons are available on CD and DVD. Many in America, Canada, and all over the world are on the free CD and DVD ministry. Our address will be given at the end of this broadcast. And now, here is Dr. and Pastor Peter John Peters with the Word of God.
Title of the message is Dog Power of the Dark Side. My job as a shepherd, if I love the chief shepherd, is to feed the sheep. But every now and then, you know, the shepherd himself needs to eat. Amen? And so I'm going to. You might say, well, what are you eating, Pastor Peters? It's crow. Tastes a lot like chicken. I've ate it more than once. Someone sent me an email last week and pointed out a mistake I made in the last sermon. And it's a big one, really. I pointed out in the last sermon, which was, what was the title of that? Dirty Dogs, I forgot. I got it written down here. Power of preacher minds and, no, it was preacher minds and bloodlines, I guess it was. But anyway, no, it was the power of the dirty dog. Power of the dirty dog. Been doing a series for about 2 months now, and it started on deception. And one thing has led to another. And in the last message, I pointed out how Gideon had his men weeded out by bringing the water up and lapping like a dog. And actually, the ones that he kept were the ones that lapped like a dog, not the ones that he eliminated. Now, I wanted to tell you that I said that on purpose, made that mistake on purpose, see if any of you would catch me. Now, you know that'd be a lie. I want to tell you something that would be very valuable in your growth as a Christian. When you're wrong, just say you're wrong. You ever found a man that was right all the time? If you find a man that's right all the time, I will show you Jesus. Amen. And so the best way to grow is, I was wrong. Some of you need to learn this. It's called repentance. I was wrong. I'm sorry. You know, a lot of times they just kind of lift up the rug and sweep it under, you know, and try to cover it up and just go on like, well, we won't say anything. Because it's your pride that locks you in. And I want to tell you something. Crow's not that bad. You just eat it. And then you go on. So now your preacher's been fed. Now there's another area he's got to eat crow in. I'm thankful for my acres of diamond men. A couple of my acres of diamond men pointed out something to me. You ever notice sometimes in Scripture, you'll think that it's in the Scripture, and suddenly it's not there? And where'd it go? I thought it was there. Well, I always thought that the hedge that was around Job that God removed so Satan could hit him was a hedge of thorns. Still, I think maybe it was. I don't know. But I got looking at it because a couple of my acres of diamond men pointed out to me that we shouldn't be praying for a hedge of thorns. You see, thorns represent the Canaanites. Amen. We got them around us already. Amen. I don't need to pray for any more of them, Lord. I've had plenty of them. I've been pulling them out of my side and those pricks in my eyes for a long time. You see what I'm saying? And sure enough, there's no hedge of thorns. So I got to take another bite, eat a little more crow. Don't pray for a hedge of thorns. Just pray for a hedge that Satan can't get through. If the Lord wants to make it a thorny hedge or whatever, I don't care. So I wanted to correct that. So now we've fed the pastor, and you've seen the pastor eat crow. Then it occurred to me, I got to think as a pastor, how do the sheep eat? If I'm going to be a good shepherd, and I'm going to feed the sheep, then I ought to consider how the sheep digest their food. And sheep digest their food just like cows do. You see, this part of the sermon, and I'm going to take a little bit before I get to the main sermon, is what I'm going to call chewing the cud part of the sermon. Because the sheep has more than one stomach, just like a cow. And so they cough up what they've ate, and then they lay there and they chew their cud. And that's how they digest their food. They first of all, they eat it, then they cough it back up, and then they chew on their cud, and then they swallow it again. It goes into another stomach so they can digest it better. So it occurred to me, I ought to have chewing the cud parts of the sermons. And so I want to do that. I want to take what we fed you last week, and then we're going to cough it up and chew on it some more. Now, the difference between a sheep and a dog pukes it up, and then he licks his puke. Well, we're not going to do that. We're not eating puke. We're just taking and we're coughing up, and we're chewing on our cud. I want to cover some points that were covered in the last message. One, bloodlines affect the minds. Has anyone noticed that the preachers of today and their churches don't seem to mind the lawless, sin-soaked, pigsty society that we have today? The filth and debauchery of our once white Christian culture and civilization would make the cursed Canaanites of old blush, and it would embarrass Sodom and Gomorrah. That's how bad it's gotten in this country, but it doesn't seem like they really mind that bad. There's been a spell that's been cast over America. How do you change the entire landscape of a land? This is chewing the cud, a point from the last message. You change the entire landscape by changing the priesthood, the prophets, the ministers in the pulpit. Do you think that Jesus knew this? Do you think Satan knew it? You know, there is a Satan, and if you can't figure that out from the Bible, you just well go elsewhere. You can try to explain it away, but it's right there. And one of the most important points that I want to get across from the last message is that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, there is a prophecy. And in this prophecy, there is a man that's sitting in a temple. Now, that man in the New American Standard is called the man of lawlessness. In the King James, he's called the man of sin. In the New American Standard, he's called the son of destruction. In the King James, he's called the son of perdition. Now, a man of lawlessness or a man of sin, sin is a transgression of the law. Perdition and destruction, one and the same. What is the temple? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, we are given an idea of what the temple is. You see, in the Old Covenant, God had a temple. a physical temple. And these dirty birds in the pulpits, these filthy dog Amalekites that are unable to bark, are telling people that the Antichrist is coming and he's going to rebuild this temple and then he's going to sit in it, so forth and so on. Babylonian baloney. That temple was in the old covenant. In the new covenant, God has a temple. This is what it says in 1 Corinthians. It says, "For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building." That temple in the old covenant was God's building. We, the church, that's what the church is, the ecclesia, the called out. When we are baptized into Christ, we are added, according to scriptures, to the body of Christ, and we become that building, the church. Well, that man in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is sitting there in the chief seat in the temple. And that temple is exactly what I've been telling you, these preachers that we have in the churches today. The man is not just one single solitary man. It represents a group of men. And we just hit the tip of the iceberg a couple of years ago when this ministry brought out the revealing of the man of sin in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, pointing out that his name was Esau. Well, now we see that Esau is Edom. And Edom has certain bloodlines, and more specifically, now we're getting on to the line of the Amalekites. And that's what we have, these filthy Amalekites. Judas Iscariot was an Edomite. It doesn't say that. It says Judas Iscariot. He was the only apostle that was identified to a land area. Iscariot was a region of Judea where the Edomites had settled. And so he was identified as Judas Iscariot, and Jesus identified him as a son of perdition. He was one of them. And of course, we know what he did. Now, that man sits in that position by the working of Satan. 2 Thessalonians 2:9 is a very important regurgitating point that we need to look at. Let us bring it up on the screen. That is, the one who's coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power, signs, and false wonders. Notice he has power. We'll stop there. And with deception. He's a deceiver. But notice it's that his coming is in accord with the activity of Satan. King James says with the working of Satan. In other words, Satan knew that he could change the entire landscape by putting them in, and he has, slowly but surely, and there has been a change in the ministry or in the pulpits in our land today. All you have to do is look what was preached in 1900, 1910, 1920, about there, and it starts going away. You go and look and see what was preached in 1776, and it says in Jeremiah 23:21. See, these men claim to be called. Well, they were called, but not of God. This is what it says in Jeremiah. It says, "I did not send these prophets, but they ran. I did not speak to them, but they prophesied." Oh, they'll tell you they feel called. Yeah, you've been called, but it wasn't by the God of this Bible. It was by the God of this world. And by God Almighty, you'd better, some of you preachers out there, you'd better repent. Now, some of you, not all of you are Amalekites, surely. Some of you are just twofold more sons of hell, that's all. That's good. Because at least the twofold more sons of hell can repent. All you got to do is just eat crow. It ain't that bad. It's better than spending hell with them. They were called, but not by God. And I want to tell you what their disguise is. I got a sermon up here that's coming to you called The Love Spell. Their disguise is love. You notice how they just love to talk about love. You ever notice how that? They love to pick the songs about love, play the guitar, and tell you about love of Jesus. They tell you how much they love Jesus. It ever occurred to you that maybe if they hated the God of this Bible, that they're going to disguise their hate? It says such things in Proverbs that those that hate him disguise their hate. That maybe they disguise it with what? love. Jesus said, if you love me, what did he say? If you love me, keep my commandments. They can't keep the simplest commandment, which was given by Peter, who was given the keys to the kingdom and is still there. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. And what has happened, if you go to Genesis 27:40, what has happened in this land by Satan putting them into the pulpit, they have become lawless. They will not, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. What are the commandments? The law of God. But they have gone against the law of God, and this is the way they have removed the yoke. This is the prophecy, still review point. And by your sword you shall live. Now that word sword is coming to have more meaning to me. You'll see that as we go on in the sermon. And your brother you shall serve, but it shall come about when you become reckless that you shall break his yoke from your neck. Now, the next verse will be Jeremiah 5:30, but I want to say that you can change the entire landscape of a land by getting the people away from the law of God. And they have. And this has been Esau, Edom, breaking the yoke from the neck. These are powerful points as far as I'm concerned. And so look at the land today. Jeremiah 5:30 and 31 describes it well. This is what it says. It says, an appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule on their own authority, and my people love to have it so. But what will you do at the end of it? So, it's an appalling and horrible thing that has happened in the land. But notice he says, what are you going to do at the end of it? You know, there's one thing. Notice it says, my people love to have it so. There's one point that I didn't bring out in the last message. I told you about how this little church in times gone by, when we were a little bigger actually, well, we fought the homosexuals from trying to come into this community. I fought Debbie Does Donuts. And I didn't tell you the rest of that story. Actually, Debbie Does Donuts got closed down because of what we did. And no, I didn't go out there with Geraldo Rivera, even though he offered to come and pick me up after church with his white limousine and take me out there. But here's the point I forgot to make. All the activity that we did, and it was in the papers, and it's been up and down the front range and that type of thing. Of all the activity we ever did, we never gained one single solitary church attendee. You would have thought that somebody out there would have said, now there's a church. There's a preacher that's standing for something, standing against the stuff that I'm against, and I don't want coming into my community. I'm going to go over there and support that church and that preacher. Not one. You know why? The prophets prophesy falsely. The priests rule on their own authority, and my people love to have it so. They don't mind. They don't mind this pigsty of a society any more than the preachers do. But then he said, what are you going to do at the end of it? And now we are at the end. And the end is red socialism, where they'll round you up and vaccinate you, put you where they want you. What are you going to do at the end of it? You'll not find these preachers preaching against sin, proclaiming his kingdom, nor will you find them against the red socialism government. You know why? Because they are the Reds. Esau, Edom came out red all over. And that's why they instinctively are against the law and are instinctively in favor of this ever-encroaching communistic government, and they're ready to stand there and pervert Romans 13 and tell you to obey the authorities. You don't think the preachers of 1776 understood their Bible and understood Romans 13? Yes, they did. But the preachers today, your job, you filthy, dirty bird, you filthy dog, Amalekites, you're as big an enemy as any government official, as anybody you can think of today in this land. Your filthy job is to pervert the scriptures. They don't like me, and I want you to know something. I don't like them either. Well, that's not nice. You know how they love everybody, but they don't love a guy like me. they'll warn you about a guy like me. And I want to tell you one of the reasons, if we go to Acts 13, 9 and 10, one of the reasons that they don't want you to be baptized is it'll blow their cover. This is another review point. It says, but Saul, who was also known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze upon him. And he said, you who are full of all deceit and fraud, you dirty son of a devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord? Hallelujah. Notice, though, he was filled with the Spirit. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit when you're baptized, and they don't want that because it'll blow their cover. Colonel Moore, you've heard me talk about him. He wrote in his book called Know Your Enemy. He said, today our fundamental and conservative churches who believe the Word of God and preach about the saving faith of Jesus Christ all too often fail to realize they are aiding and abetting the enemy. I became an evangelist so I could reach these good church folks who had been neutralized from the fight by their own preachers. Pretty good. He was a great man. And you know something? Some of you are aiding and abetting the enemy because you know and I know you support your little churches you go to where you feel good, but yet you'll tune in or listen to my tapes and get fed, and you never feed me a dime. I'm not talking about you people here, but there's a lot of you out there. You take from me, and you don't know the prices I've paid to get the education. You know, I can't teach what I haven't been taught. And some of the things I've had to, the prices I've had to pay to go through the school to teach you these things, and then you take them for free, and then you go and give your offering or your tithes, if you do tithe, to some other church. There's some of them that do it out there. And I say, shame on you. You're aiding and abetting the enemy. Okay, enough for cud chewing. You enjoy chewing the cud? That was from the last message. This message is dirty dog power of the dark side. Ooh, got to keep moving on. So, how do I start it? Have you done it? Yet? Done what? Have you prayed the deception, detection prayer ever once in your life? And have you added to what I tried to get you to add to from the last message? Deliver me from the power of the dog. Psalms 22, verse 20. Is a review scripture, but it's a very important scripture for this message. It says, deliver my soul from the sword, my only life from the power of the dog. Notice it, deliver my life from the sword. Remember, Esau Edom was going to live by the what? Sword. He said, deliver my life from the sword, my only life from the power of the dog. What does this scripture tell you? Well, first of all, it tells you, as we go to the next scripture, Philippians 3:12, that there are dogs. And this scripture tells you and I that dogs have power. And I have gone a long time in my Christian life, and I never prayed this prayer, deliver me from the power of the dogs. And I'm saying to you, add it to your prayer life, along with the deception detection prayer. Philippians 3:2 warns us of dogs. It says, beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the false circumcision. Now, you've heard me talk often about Isaiah 52, 1, 2, and 3, and 4, about there's going to be an awakening, that we awaken to the reality that there's the unclean and the uncircumcised coming into us, that we have chains upon us, but verse 5 is very important to understand. Right now, we are living in verse 5. The awakening's coming. But it says in Isaiah 52, verse 5, it says that we are living under the power of the dog. But it doesn't use the word dog. It uses a different word. Only dogs howl. This is kind of an important point. When I was reading one time a book called Arco Volumes or something like that, it's very interesting. It has the writings in there of Pilate about the crucifixion of Christ, and he said, as he's talking about the pressure he was put under, that those that wanted his crucifixion, when it all was happening, made strange sounds like howling like a dog's. In fact, I had somebody, since I pointed out Benny Hinn's power last week, someone sent me an email and said that they saw, they've got, there's worse, they sent me actually film footage of worse than that, people howling like dogs at one of his gatherings. It says this in Isaiah 52:5. It says, "Now therefore, what do I have here, declares the Lord, seeing that my people have been taken away without cause?" Again, the Lord declares, "Those who rule over them howl, and my name is continually blasphemed all day long." So, there are dogs. I appreciate my Acres of Diamond men that feed me. When I feed you people out there, I get fed back as well. One has pointed out to me that the passage I've used in the past in Exodus 17:6 about the Amalekite, in Exodus 17:6 it says that God would war with the Amalekite forever. I don't know if we got it ready to bring up on the screen or not, but if not, I'll just move on. He said he would war with, there it is, and he said, "The Lord has sworn the Lord will have war against Amalek from generation to generation." Is that the New American Standard? All right, I think King James says we'll war with Amalek. Well, there's two ways to take that. And one way is that God uses Amalek to war against us. These dogs have been used by our God, and our God has said, if you won't have me rule over you, then I'll see to it that someone worse, far, far worse, if you think of my law. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is light." What was he talking about? The yoke, as I have pointed out in the past in this series, represents the law. But if we don't want his law, then we're going to have somebody else rule over us that's far worse, this red socialist communist system. And these dogs that howl are ruling over us. It says in Psalms 59:1, I want to give this on regards to the dogs. It says, "Deliver me from my enemies, O my God. Set me securely on high, away from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from those who do iniquity, and save me from men of bloodshed. For behold, they have set an ambush for my life. Fierce men launch an attack against me, not for my transgressions, nor for my sins, O Lord." We'll stop there. Notice that he said that these, as we go on down, we want to go down to verse 6 next in that same chapter, all right? But notice how he said that these guys he's talking about would set an ambush. Did they set an ambush for the Lord's son? Did they? They ambushed him. And did they try to make it look like he was just being crucified for a crime? Yeah. Do you think they would ambush somebody's son, kill him, make it look like an accident? I think they would. Who are you talking about, dogs? Isaiah 59:6. It says, "They returned at evening. They howl like a dog and go around the city. Behold, they belch forth with their mouth. Swords are in their lips." I want you to stop there. I want you to know that the swords that they use are the words that they have. Slander. Do you know who prayed delivery from the power of the dog? Some of you might say, well, it was David. No. If you read Psalms 22, you'll see that that is a prophetic psalm about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. He says that they've pierced my hands and my feet. They stare at me. They mocked him. They said, "Come down." And that whole psalm is a psalm about Jesus Christ. And guess who's saying, "Deliver me from the power of the dog"? Jesus Christ. guess who's saying, deliver me from the power. He didn't say just the power of the dog. He said, deliver my soul from the sword and from the power of the dog. The Bible teaches us in other places, and I can see the clock is running, so I got to keep a moving. But it talks about the words were smooth, but they were drawn swords. Esau Edom uses words as swords. This one Amalekite that I had a good experience with, that I found out the hard way that he was a deceiver, oh, was he a wordsmith. And oh, could he pray. And the flowery words, and they can make you feel so good. Words are their swords. These dirty dogs. And who are they? They are the Amalekites. And I like what James 5:1 says. We'll not turn there, but it says, come you now, you rich, weep and howl, for your miseries are coming upon you. He's talking about the dogs. I want to talk now, what time I got left, that the dogs have power. And we, as Christians, have been guilty of underestimating the power of the dark side. Our next scripture is going to be Luke 10:17. But we've underestimated the power of the dark side. I think of the Star Wars series. There was a lot of truth put in there, and a little bit of programming as well, as I'll tell you in a moment. But you've underestimated the power of the dark side, Luke. We've underestimated the power of their music, the power of their movies, the power of their spells, the power of their God, the power of their prayers. One email I did get from last Sunday's sermon was, they said, I don't think Benny Hinn has any power. They had something going, no, he has a power. The man of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 comes with all power, signs, and false wonders, but the word power is there. What do we learn from Luke 10:17 through 19 and 20? It says, and the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. That's why they wanted to remove the name of Jesus and have you speak some false God name of Yahuwah, Vuah, Vuah. And he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority over upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. Notice he says, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. Now, what does that tell you? That tells you your enemy has power. Boy, you are really deep, Pastor Peters. You know, sometimes we miss the simplest, don't we? We have underestimated the power. The enemy has power. The magicians in Egypt had power. Moses understood that dogs have power, and that's why Jesus said, deliver me from the power of the dog and from their sword. Why did he say, deliver me from their sword? Because I want to tell you something. Because the sword was their words, slander, lies. And it was very important for people to understand that he was a good, pure, righteous, only begotten son, that he was not a bad man. And he knew that his enemy, once he resurrected from the grave, would start telling people that he was a fraud, that his apostles came and took him out of the grave, and that it was all a sham, and that he was a drunk and a wine bibber. And the Heavenly Father had to defend his son after he died. I know what I'm talking about when sons die, and sometimes the fathers have to put up with the slander of what they say about his son, a good only begotten son. These are the swords, the words. Deliver us from these. The danger of not believing this scripture that the enemy has power is this. We underestimate the power of the dark side, and thus we do not put on the armor of God daily. Ephesians 6 says, we war not against flesh and blood, but there are principalities and powers. And he said, put on the armor, but we don't. Yeah, day in, day out. I'm talking in generalities. I mean, I do every day, but people today, they don't take it seriously. They underestimate the power of these dirty dogs. We don't put on the armor. We don't say our daily prayers. We don't say the Lord's Prayer. I mean, have you ever wondered what Jesus prayed? The Bible says he got up early in the morning and would pray. You ever wonder what he prayed? Would you like to have been there and hear him pray? And when you pray, your prayers will be more effective if you'll speak them out loud. Don't have to be real loud, because Lord's got real good hearing. But speak them out loud. Well, what was Jesus praying? I'll tell you. Deliver me from evil. If Jesus had to pray, deliver me from evil daily. If Jesus had to pray, deliver me from the dogs. If he had to pray, deliver me from the sword. How much more do I? But we've underestimated the power of the dog. Why did I tell the witchcraft stories that I told in one of my scriptural insights and studies? Because at one time I didn't believe in witches. I didn't think they had any power. That one old witch bitch that tried to kill my grandson. Oh, I got a lot of stories in my portfolio I could tell you. She used to tell my son, here, take this little silver dollar and put it under Garrett's pillow and have him sleep there. She was a witch. And it'll make him rich. Of course, my son didn't do it. But at that, well, it's a long story. I told you those witchcraft stories for a purpose. So many out there do not believe that someone could cast a spell on their daughter and take her. They don't believe it. They don't believe that. I've seen it. Jesus prayed the prayer of Psalms 22:20, deliver my soul from the sword, my only life from the power of the dog. If Jesus had to pray it, how much more do we? So what is some of the power of the dog? You ever heard the term works like a charm? 2 Samuel 1:23 is the next verse I want to go to. And the reason I want to go there and go there fast is because we forget that King Saul was one of the best men. God chose the best man for the job when he chose a king for Israel. It was King Saul. And when he died, David lamented and said this about Saul and his son. It says there, and we read, Saul and Jonathan, beloved and pleasant in their life, and in their death they were not parted. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. Oh, he was a strong man, Saul was. A big man, a powerful man, a brave man, a courageous man. And he was a man that did God's bidding. And one day God said, hey man, I want you to go and wipe out the Amalekites. Those dirty dog Amalekites. Well, from that moment on, Saul went into battle. And that was a battle that he lost. Because he did underestimate the power of the dog. You see, as I've told you before, it's proven in the scriptures. In Exodus 17, there was a reason that the only way that Joshua could defeat the Amalekites was with Moses lifting up his hands to pray. It was because, as the book of Jasher says, the Amalekites were using sorcery power, magic power. The Amalekites have always had a magical power. And Saul went in and fought physically, but he wasn't prepared mentally to deal with the spell casting sorcery charming ability of King Agag. And the next thing you know, from that moment on, that was the downfall of King Saul. Agag, he brought him back and hadn't killed him. No, Samuel, I appreciate old Samuel. He took that sword out and ran it through that dirty dog as fast as he could. But you see, Saul was charmed. He was spellcasted. Witchcraft, it has a power. and we underestimate it. He fell to the Amalekite sorcery power. If spell casting wasn't possible, why are we reading in Deuteronomy 18, if we took time, we won't, that the Lord said, do not allow anyone in your midst that casts a what? A spell. I've watched. You want to talk about the power of the dog? What's another power of the dog? The ability to turn people against you. I've marveled at it. I mean, one day Jesus come right in a horseback. I guess it wasn't a horseback. It was a donkey, but I like to call it a horse. But okay, I won't pervert the scriptures. It was a donkey. And our Lord come riding in on a donkey, and everybody's throwing down their jackets and palm leaves and everything else and saying, Hosanna to the highest, and praising him. And was that a few days later, they're saying, crucify him! How's this possible? By the power of the dog to affect the minds of the people and turn the people against an innocent man. Now that's the kind of power these dirty dogs have. I've seen it. And I want to tell you, the Amalekite goes after the women and the children. You get your wives and your children out of these dirty, damnable churches, because before you know it, they will have them looking to the preacher and to the church over the father of the family. Happens time after time. I watched an Amalekite in my midst turn. They'll take your own children, and pretty soon they'll have your children looking to them over you. And they don't even know what's happening to them. I know what I'm talking about. Don't you think I paid prices in what I'm teaching you? The power of the sword I've already covered. We'll go on from there. Our next scripture is going to be Psalm 69:4, if you want to know. How about the power? What are some of the other powers they have? Here's one. How about the power of hate? Now, in the Star Wars series, they did tell you a lot of truth, but they also programmed you to do something or not to do something. The Bible tells us in Psalms 69:4, and then we're going to go to John 15:23 and 24. It says, those who hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. Those who would destroy me are powerful, being wrongfully my enemies. What I did not steal, I then have to restore. Notice he says they hate me without a cause. You see, Christians have this idea, if I'm just a nice little Christian boy and girl and don't do anything anybody, no one will hate me. That is a lie. And the Bible says they disguise their hate and they will hate you without a cause. Why did they hate Jesus? Jesus tells us in John 15, he says in John 15, verse 23 and 24, he who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would not have sinned. But now they have both seen and hated me and my Father as well. But they have done this in order that the word may be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hate me without a cause. Have you ever hated anybody without a cause? Have you? I have. Would you like me to tell you the story? Okay, thank you. I went up to Estes Park one September to watch the Scottish Highland Festival. It's very, very interesting. Go up there and see that. And I was sitting there, and in the arena were these redcoats from England, and they were marching and drilling and dropping down and firing, and I'm sitting there, and suddenly I realize I'm taking stock of my feelings. I hated their guts. I hated them. I thought, what does it matter to me? I was in a rage. They were redcoats. If you understood my ancestry, my people were here before the Mayflower. I won't go into it, but I've got it documented. And they fought the Redcoats before the Revolutionary War started. And they were in the Green Mountains. They were also fighting with, who was the other guy? Ethan Allen up there. And they killed a lot of redcoats and officers before the war started. They hated redcoats. And that carried down in my genes. And I realized that's why I hated them without a cause. Now, what's the point here? The point is this. If you were a Canaanite dog, remember, Israel came in and took their land, killed their families, uprooted them, took their homes, took their families. Wouldn't you hate Israel? And wouldn't you hate Israel's God? The point is, some of this carries out on the DNA. Does that make sense? They hate without a cause. That's just the way it is. We're talking about the power and the power of hate. And what they did in Star Wars was they tried to teach you me not to hate, because here we had this evil Darth Vader. Go ahead, hate Luke. And the leader of the Empire, hate Luke, hate. And everybody in the audience say, oh, don't hate Luke, don't hate, don't hate. No, you better hate him. Why wouldn't you hate him, Luke? They destroyed a whole planet, if I remember, in the series, did they not? They come to steal, kill, and destroy. You don't think David hated the Amalekites when he came home and found they had stolen his children or the men's children and his wives? You see, there's power in hate, but they've taken that power away from us. But here's a power, as I see the clock running down on us, that they don't have. They don't have the power of love. They don't have the capacity to love. We have the capacity to have that power to love our Lord with all our heart, mind, and soul. But you know, another thing I want to bring out to you while at times, the power of music. I could spend quite a bit of time on that, and I won't, but I'm going to tell you, listen up, you're making a bad mistake. You got little children, their lives are forming. Music has a power over them. Beware. And I want to tell you something else. Don't think there's not power in the enemy's prayer. They will pray against you, and those prayers can hit you. And don't think there's not power in the music in the movies. This book, called An Empire of Their Own, is the subtitle, How the Jews Invented Hollywood. And I want to read to you real fast, as I look the clock going down, some points from it. First of all, on page 6 and 7 of the book, I'll read this, just make the points. It has to do with the Hollywood movies. See if I can find it here. Within the studios and the screens, the Jews could simply create a new country, an empire of their own, so to speak. One where they would not only be admitted, but would govern us as well. They would create its values and its traditions and its archetypes. Dropping on down, it says, the Hollywood Jews would cope through a sustained attempt to live a fiction and to cast its spell over the minds of others. What is amazing is the extent to which they succeeded in promulgating the fiction throughout the world. Ultimately, by creating their idealized America on the screen, the Jews reinvented the country in the image of their fiction. And on page, I think I've got enough time to cover this. On page 267, page 277, it says, it was talking about when these movies were coming in distance. In this country, there were preachers. Billy Sunday was one of them that was preaching against the movies and what they were doing to the country. It says here, this is what he said, quote, no foreign bunch can come over here and tell us how we ought to observe this day, preached evangelist Billy Sunday, while thumping for laws that would prohibit the showing of movies on the Sabbath. And it goes on to talk about, he says, the United States at heart is a God-fearing and a God-loving nation, and most of our laxity on this lay at the door of those elements which are part of our population but are not yet assimilated. He was talking about the Jews. I got a report from someone that says that Billy Sunday's secretary, before she died, signed a notarized document saying that he had met with Calvin Coolidge. That would have been in the 20s. Calvin Coolidge told Billy that he couldn't get what he wanted to get done for this country because the Jews were hindering him and even threatening his life. And it says that he went and went public with this. Right after Billy Sunday confronted them, guess what happened? His son was caught in a scandal with from Hollywood, I think it was, and he allegedly committed suicide. It devastated Billy Sunday. Well, as I read in this book, it says here, this one Jew said, I'm a Jew, he wrote, but I'm ashamed. No, that's not the place I want. Says, if these slanderers, Jew baiters, and Catholic haters are not silenced, we must fight to the finish with no quarter. They know how to fight. Get the point? Read between the lines. Understand, I know what I'm talking about. In a war, there are casualties. This is a real war. Do you want a future for your children? Do you want a land for them? You're going to have to fight. But yet some of you support the other side because they make you feel good. There's something, 1 Acres of Diamond Man told me this, and it's really that if you're not going to have the Holy Spirit, you've got to have a feeling, and you get your feelings from one way or the other, either through emotionalism of some of these churches or ritualism. And the truth of the matter is, you just got to be strong, suck it up, and go on. This is a real, they have power, they fight real dirty, they're a bunch of dirty, damnable dogs. And another thing I want to point out, we don't have time, go to 2 Chronicles 23:6 next, but they have the power of magic. The reason I'm having the prayers in regards to D.C. street sorcery is to take and see to it that we're praying the prophecy that God said in Micah that he was going to cause their sorceries to cease. In 2 Chronicles 23:6 it says, but let... Now I wrote down the wrong one. Is that 23:6?
Yeah.
All right, forget it. Just cross it off. Anyway, we got plenty of places in Scripture that teaches that there's sorcery and spell casting and witchcraft. Do not let them lay hands on you is a very important point from the message. I have a book here that one of my Acres of Diamond Men sent me. It's a photocopy of the 1800s called The Healing by Laying On of Hands. There are those that have power to heal by laying on of hands, but it's not done through Christ, and you let it be done to you. And this is another book one of my Acres of Diamond Men gave me called Between Christ and Satan. And in this book, it's written by a Dr. Koch, a German minister, back in about the 30s, I think it was. But anyway, he points this out in regards to magic. You might not want to believe that there is such a thing, but he says, through many counseling talks, I could recognize 4 different ways of origination of magical power. Number one, guess what the number one way was? Heredity. Runs in the bloodline of Amalek. And I'm running out of time, but we have got to understand that we have underestimated the power of the dark side. But they've underestimated our stupidity. You see, I was talking to the Lord the other day, and I said, look, I'm a sheep. I admit that. And sheep are dumb. So I'm not going to repent of being dumb. But I want to tell you dumb sheep out there, you don't have to be dumb and dumber. Well, how do I know if I'm dumb and dumber? I tell you how you know if you're dumb and dumber, if you never pray to God for wisdom. And when you begin to pray for wisdom, you begin to see that these dirty dogs in the pulpits today have kept you away from baptism for the remission of sins. And when you are baptized, it says you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will be able to identify them and allows you to begin to receive from the Lord direction. But as I close out this message, our Lord Jesus Christ has told you and I have given you power and authority for them. Yes, we've underestimated the power of the dirty dogs, the power of the dark side. But we've also underestimated the power we have over them. Amen. And our Lord Jesus Christ says, as he prayed from evil, "For thine is the glory and the power and the dominion forever and ever." And it comes through faith, and I got a series or sermon or two up here to teach you more about faith. Because it is our faith that overcomes the world. We have is so much more powerful than theirs. We must understand that and not underestimate our power. Do not fear the power of the dark side, but don't underestimate it. When you are aware of the power of the dog, you will put on the armor. You will pray daily. You will add to your prayers not only the deception detection, but deliver me from the power of the dog. And you will also pray to be delivered from their sword, which is their slander. This preacher's been slandered. They use it all the time on the internet and that type of thing. And you know something? Still here. Still doing good. About their power to turn people against you. These bunch of little dirty dogs we had in our midst, they tried to turn the flock against me. Like I was somebody practicing sorcery. Notice how they did that? And they succeeded with a few people. That's what's amazing. Why? Because they have power, you dirty, damnable Amalekite dog. Down. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Because you've got a remnant out there, the Lord does, that's a praying. Praying the DC sorcery prayer. And that sorcery is going to cease. Your power is going to come to an end. It says in Matthew 20, the power of heaven will be shaken. And that word shaken means to be destroyed. And that's the fulfillment of the prophecy in Micah 5 where he's going to cause their sorcery to cease. So don't underestimate the power you have. And we take power and authority over them. Amen. So we conclude the sermon, dog power of the dark side. Our Heavenly Father, I do pray that it would be an Amalekite crusher, a Satan stomper, and a saint awakener. That you cause it to be. And for those of you that are his, may the Lord Jesus Christ bless you, keep you, make his face shine upon you, be great countenance upon you, and grant you peace in Jesus' name. Amen.